You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come and be a part of the live radio recording here at my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, each Sunday, 5 p.m. Afterward, I pray for everybody, and we pray for those who are sick. Bring your sick loved ones. Also, for those of you who'd like to call me for prayer or to ask me a question for Mystery Moment, my area is 321. I repeat, the area is 321. The number is 632. I'll say that again, 632. The number, rest of it, is 4631. I repeat, 4631. Now, 321-632-4631. And now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Last week, we left off with Jesus saying to the disciples, "Let us pass over to the other side." We were reminded that Jesus is our Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So he put that word in there. On the way over in that little boat, along came a hurricane, a storm, and tried to kill them all. The disciples said the boat's full with water and Jesus asleep in the back. The hurricane tried to kill them. A hurricane is Cain, the first murderer, in a hurry. Did you get it? Cain in a hurry. Hurricane. And so since Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14, right then and there, death was trying to defeat Jesus before Jesus could defeat death. But Jesus said, "Peace be still," and the winds and the waves obeyed his will. So he defeated death. Now, what's waiting him on the other side? Is there going to be death there? Let's find out. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when they were come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. All right. Now, an unclean spirit is a disembodied demon. Demons are disembodied spirits, but they had gone into his body. By him living there in the tombs, that means death. So here is a man. Jesus and his disciples just defeated death, the Cain in a hurry, the hurricane. And now they find a man here with an unclean spirit living in death in the tombs. Tombs are death. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Now, many people under the sound of my voice, yes, you're alive in your flesh body, but you are dead in spirit. You are dead in trespasses and sins. And some of you Christians go through life dead because you do not apply the Holy Spirit and let him activate and bring life and energy to you. Once I wrote a novel, and it was about the heroine called Nash. And Nash said, "I cannot go through life dead in life. No, I cannot." So here we find a man, his body's there, but he's living among the dead. How about you?
No one could bind him, not even with chains, for because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces.
So the people would call him a crazy man. The crazy man out there living in death by the tombs. Let's go get a chain and lock him up. I wonder how many people have been called crazy, maybe because they have dementia and someone tried to lock them up, maybe not put chains on them, but they put them in a room, you know, in a nursing home, and they say, the crazy person is locked up now and won't do us any more harm. Oh, that someone would have known how to deliver the crazy man. That someone would know how to deliver people, other people call crazy or demented, when it's a demon. Jesus gave you power over demons. He told you to cast out demons.
Neither could anyone tame him. Five, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones.
So they said, the crazy man there, he's screaming and yelling, and we need to put him in chains and lock him away. That's what we need to do with crazy people. Cutting is always a sign of a person who is under demon control. Maybe there are a few exceptions, but usually it is. Because demons also, when they get you to cut yourself, they want you to commit suicide. Suicide is usually a result of a demonic influence. So they're all saying the crazy man, if only we could bind him. But see, he was working under the supernatural power of the demon's lord, which would be Beelzebub, the lord of flies, the lord of lies, the devil. See, the devil does have supernatural powers, but Jesus says, I give you, Christian, power over all the power of the enemy. All, serpents and scorpions, devils and demons. But the poor man didn't know it, and the people in the community didn't know it. Let's see what Jesus is going to do.
Six. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him.
Now, he looks and he doesn't yet see Jesus' feature. Jesus is so far off, he can't tell the color of Jesus' eyes or the color of his hair or how his face is shaped or his body shaped. But how does he know it's Jesus? Because he's a spirit. He's a demon. Demons are evil spirits. He was in the world that then was, the first earth age, 2 Peter 3, 6, 7. I taught it to you recently. And he was there. And once upon a time, he had worshipped Jesus. He knew Jesus was Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel, God with us. The beautiful thing about being in the spiritual dimension, and that will happen when we move into our spiritual bodies, when Jesus returns, or should we die before he comes, that we see the spirit of people. You know, a person could be blind and not see what you look like, not see the color of your eyes, the clothes you have, or see anything about you. But sometimes a blind person can have such spiritual division, they see your spirit. I'm not sure that might not be better.
Seven, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?
You know what he's doing there? He knows that Jesus holds his life in his hand. Now, this is the captain of the demon in this man, okay? And he's crying out to him. He knows that if Jesus decides to get him out of the man and send him to the abyss, that's a death sentence for him. Anytime you cast a demon out of anyone, you want to send them to the abyss. That's a death sentence. So they don't want to die yet. So don't torment us. We don't want to die yet, says the demon.
I implore you by God that you do not torment me.
Don't torment me. Don't send me to the abyss.
For he said unto him, come out of the man, unclean spirit.
That was torment. Now the evil spirits had to obey. The winds and the waves obey his will. And so do the demons and everything. So Jesus said to him with all authority, all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth, come out of him, unclean spirit. And so the unclean spirit had no choice but to come out. Now what will Jesus do with him? Will he let him live or will he send him to the abyss?
Nine. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered him saying, my name is Legion, for we are many.
In the Roman army there, the government that was controlling the tribes of Israel, a legion was 6,000 men. So this man is possessed by 6,000 demons. Now, God has used me to work in this area many, many times. Sometimes a person comes in here and they've got demons piggyback, and they try to get in that way. Others, they've just opened their foot one door and the demon is in them, and I can see the demon staring at me, wondering if I'm going to recognize it because it's scared. And then there are other people that come in here, they've got so many demons, there's not much left of the person, that they are just a bag of skin holding a bunch of demons. Now, if you could only understand, for the last 8 or 9 years of the government of the United States of America, some of those politicians that were on your screen, if you could have seen beyond the veil, you would have seen they were so possessed of devils and demons, there was not much left of them. It was a demon speaking. One of them, I saw a snake coming out of his mouth. There they were. They had so given themselves to child marketing, child trafficking, child pornography, pedophiles, and greed and Satan worship. So there we have it. You say, well, goodness, do I go through that? We're going to find out. You better believe you're surrounded by that, and especially in the church.
Amen.
The devil's operation is in the church. Boy, he wants those demons in there. And he wants you to sit there and just, you know, don't let the pastor, if the pastor has the gift of anointing to cast them out, don't let the pastor know I'm in there. Be sweet and nice. Be real quiet. And I can still stay in there and mess it up.
10. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country.
What he's saying, now don't send us to the abyss. That's what he means. The abyss is a death sentence. In other words, let us live. Now, an evil spirit, now these 6,000 are disembodied spirits. An evil spirit, a demon, is a disembodied spirit. And they'll look for a body. They need a body to dwell in. And they will look for your body. If you open the door, you give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. One might come in and another. Now, I know you're going to say, but Christian, obsessed and possessed with devils. Well, let's talk about that a little bit.
11. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountain.
Hog country.
12. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. 13. And at once Jesus gave them permission.
Can you imagine Jesus' eyes sparkling, kind of tongue-in-cheek? Okay, go for it. See, the demons don't have any taste. They'll get anybody that'll let them there. But you have better taste than that. You don't let your eyes see anything but that which is pure. You don't let your ears hear anything but that which is pure. You don't let your feet go anywhere but that which is pure. You don't let your hands do anything but that which is pure. Anything else opens a door. That too much television, too much computer, look out for your cell phone, all kind of stuff, Facebook, look out. The devil knows how to get into you inch by inch. If it can just get a jar in there, he'll take over.
And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine.
I guess they were kind of happy. There were 6,000 unclean spirits in one man's body. Now they got 2,000 pigs. Have a little bit more room. Shall we say wiggle room, piggly wiggly room.
About 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned.
Okay, all of the pigs drowned. Did the evil spirits drown? No, because Jesus did not send them to the abyss. The book of Revelation says that here, as we come to the sixth trump, we're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. The sixth trump is the Antichrist. His time's been shortened for the elect's sake. The seventh is Jesus. It says the river Euphrates has been opened, and all the demons of hell are opened and on planet Earth now. Just look at the news. Just look at the media. You can see them working. Look in the church, the Lifeline Proverb, and look in your workplace, and look in your family, and look in your social life, and look at the people you know. They're all over the place. So demons play a part in God testing you. Now, God told you, Christian, to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils, okay? And he says to do that. So you say, well, yeah, but, well, first of all, how am I supposed to know that anybody has got a devil. The Holy Spirit, Christian, the best thing Jesus ever gave us is His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and God the Son. He knows everything about everything. He's your teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher of the church, a teacher of the body of Christ. He's ever at your side. He's right there. He knows everything about everything. So see, what you do, you ask the Holy Spirit. So let's just say that somebody comes to you and maybe they ask for prayer. When I offer the healing and prayers on the bench, sometimes a person will come and say, I need to be healed of this or I have this problem. And what I do, first of all, I ask the Holy Spirit to show me. See, the Holy Spirit is there for everybody. You can never live a successful Christian life unless you're completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Flip it over. As many as are not led by the Spirit of God, they are not the sons of God. This is how you do. He's there for us. Now, I want to show you, first of all, I want to explain that a Christian themselves can be obsessed or possessed with the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's you, Christian. So, this means in the manuscripts, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit now, but I'm pouring out. So when I finish this, I'm going to fill up again, like you fill up your tank when you get gasoline. You can't go on one tank full the rest of your life. Every day, you got to have gas in your car, so you be filled. And if you are low in Holy Spirit, then the demons can come in and possess you. Now, let's say that you suddenly realize by the Holy Spirit that this person has a demon. What do you do? The first thing you do is to lift up your holy hands and praise the Father. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. The blood covered of Jesus has power. And then the next thing you do is you say a quick prayer. Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, I ask you to anoint me. Anoint also means Jesus paints himself on you, but it means to give you charisma, which means he furnishes you with what you need to do your mission. So see, that's very quick. You praised him, Father, in Jesus' name, anoint me. Now you've got that. Now you turn to the person and you listen to the Holy Spirit. You anoint the person with oil in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Lord, perhaps on the forehead and with the anointing oil. And then you say to the person, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood covenant, I command you, evil spirit, to come out of this person. Jesus, I command you to loose this person. Jesus says, what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. God will back you up on that. Don't you dare bind that evil spirit. I hear people saying, I bind your powers, Satan. You're wrapping the powers on to the person. I loose you in the name of Jesus. Come out of him. The next thing you do is let the Holy Spirit tell you the demon's name. Is it lust? Is it greed? Is it a religious spirit? Is it self-centeredness? Is it lying? What is it? Whatever it is, Holy Spirit knows. In other words, let's say it's a lying spirit. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood covenant, you lying spirit, loose this person. Come out. Go to the abyss in Jesus' name by the power of the blood covenant. They have to obey you. Hallelujah. 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 And then, as you realize that they are loosed now, then you do not leave it empty. Jesus will tell us elsewhere that when you clean a house, if you don't fill it back in, seven more demons will come and will be worse. The worse, they'll be worse off than they were before. We know people that their house was not clean, and then suicide was the result. We see that it just gets worse and worse. Now, you've got two choices. Is this person that you just set free in the name of Jesus, to him be the glory, is this a saved person or a lost person? If the person is saved, because I just told you saved people can pick up demons, then you fill them with the word and you say, dear one, in the name and the power of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He sent his word and healed you. He seals you. He's your strength. He's your shield. He shamars you about. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. But what if the person is lost? fill them up with Jesus. This is a time to be pretty strong and say, to keep any demons from coming back, let's fill you with Jesus. Will you accept Jesus right now? And I think they'll be so shaken they'll be ready. And then you pray with them. Father, I confess I have sinned. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Save my soul. Forgive my sins. Wash them all away with the blood of Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart and live here forevermore. In Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you instruct them every day of their life to read the Bible, not like a telephone book or like a daddy give me something, but read it and know it's living. It's God's word, it's God's voice. And to go to church somewhere where they hear one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, where the Holy Spirit's flowing, and to live for Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's how you do it, son.
14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened.
Okay, they run to the city there and say, you got to come and see this. So the whole city comes out to see what's happened here, and that means the hog owners, those 2,000 pigs, can bring a lot of money. That's a lot of pork belly. And the owners are coming. What happened here?
Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Why, here is a marvelous thing. They should say, I marvel. This man that they wanted to put in chains and lock away because they thought he was crazy. You know, dementia, put him away in a room. They're crazy. That's what we say, isn't it? That's not true. Dementia is a demon. How dare you do that? How dare you do that? Set them free and then feed them the word of God until they get back together again. There he is. They'd wanted to do away with him, and there he is in his right mind. You know something? Jesus didn't come to put you in chains. You were all in chains, in bondage to sin, and on your way to the lake of fire. And Jesus came to set the captive free. Whoa, what an example. The man is free. Whom the truth Son sets free is free indeed. Whom truth sets free is free indeed.
And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine.
They told him exactly what happened.
17. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. 18. And when he got into the boat.
Okay. They said, Jesus, get out of Dodge. Get out of our land. Go. Why? He'd messed with their pig money. Lord have mercy. Last the sower went forth to sow. And sometimes we sow into people's hearts. And they're so concerned with getting the money, the job, the making the money, the making the money. I got to have the best house, the best car. I got to have this money, got to have this money. That they ignore God altogether. Oh, that we could care more about the person than the pocketbook. They said, get out. And you know what? Jesus is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. That's why Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We can be in a group like this, all of us praising the Lord, and one person can get up and say something fleshly and earthly, the Holy Spirit will just leave. He is very sensitive. The Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, will not go where he's not wanted. So Jesus gets in the boat. Okay. See, you have to make the Lord welcome. The Holy Spirit would abide with you all the time if you'd make him welcome and develop an intimate relationship with him. He is the Spirit of Jesus.
He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him.
You can understand that. This is the first man that showed him love. He wanted to be with Jesus.
19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. 20. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled.
Now, why, here is a marvelous thing. I marvel. Jesus took an outcast of society, a demented one with dementia, filled with spirits, and set him free, got the demons out, and called him then to be a teacher. Go and preach the gospel. He went back to those same people that told Jesus to leave, to those same hog owners, and they saw that this was a miracle, and he preached the gospel. Gospel is God's spell, the good news. God can take your broken, miserable, hopeless situation, clean you up, set you free, and make you be a proclaimer of the word of God.
Amen.
21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat,
there he goes, passing over again the water.
The other side, a great multitude gathered together unto him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name.
Jairus' name in the manuscripts read, one whom God enlightens. One whom God enlightens.
And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, that she might be healed, and she will live. 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him.
Now Jairus would see that the crowd was going to delay Jesus. The little girl is 12 years old, we'll learn. She's 12 years old. And if Jesus doesn't hurry, she's going to die. She symbolizes the 12 tribes of Israel. We still have 12 tribes of Israel. They're split. There's the house of Judah and there's the house of Israel. So when Jesus came, the 12 tribes of Israel were dying. They'd gotten away from God. Satan had made his nest right there in the synagogue. Cain's descendants, the Kenites, were calling themselves our brother Judah, but they're the synagogue of Satan. So Jesus came to, first of all, the 12 tribes, the house of Israel, to be the Messiah, to get the devil out, and to raise the tribes back to life. Now, the two tribes are called the house of Judah. For the most part, they're in the land of Israel. Some are in England on the throne. The other 10 tribes are called the house of Israel. Sennacherib the Assyrian in the Bible captured the 10 tribes, and our ancestors of the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, then settled in Ireland, Scotland, England, Europe, then passed over the water into Canada and these United States of America. And yet the church does not know who we are. The larger bulk of the 10 tribes, not the two tribes, but 10 are here. And we are dying. Look at our government. Look at the swamp. Look at the church. Look at the dead Christians. Look at the non-productive Christians. Look at the Christians that can only say, tell God to give me something. Tell God to give me something. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Where are the victorious Christians? Yeah. Well, Jesus came to revive us again and bring us back to life. Right here in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Now we're going to see how that Jesus came to bring life. And we'll pick it up right there next week. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I mean, great word tonight. We need to exercise that authority, don't we?
Absolutely.
In the church
Absolutely. And
everywhere we go.
Yes.
Okay, our first question tonight. How could Cain and Abel be twins if Cain was the devil's son?
Okay, there are twins which are called fraternal twins, F-R-A, and Cain and Abel were fraternal twins. There are paternal twins with a P, and they are identical twins. They have the same father. Fraternal twins have two different fathers, but they're in the same womb. But they were conceived in a very short time from each other. There was a story in my mother and dad's generation in the newspaper about a woman had twins. One came out African-American, the other came out Caucasian. She said, the reason I did this, I was with one man, then I turned around and went with the other man. Okay, that's fraternal twins. Well, right there in the garden, the man Adam had not yet been with a beautiful woman that God had made from his DNA. He had just said, wow, you're beautiful. And here comes the devil, who's low down like a snake. And he betrayed her, beguiled her, and planted his seed in her, and that was Cain, the first murderer. Then, when Adam saw the thing going, Adam knew his wife, and then Abel was there. Fraternal twins. That's how you do it, son. Okay.
Yeah, the enmity between the seed, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Enmity between the seed.
Yeah. Okay, our next question. Whatever happened to the Urim and the Thummim?
Okay, the Urim and the Thummim was worn on the priest's vest, and God would shine a light when the priest would say, Father, shall we go to war? What should we do about this? And God would speak. The Bible does not tell us what happened to it, but we do know that when Elijah the prophet was taken up in a whirlwind, which means a chariot of fire, he didn't have to die, that we do believe that God took the Ark of the Covenant with him, because after that we never heard in the Bible anything more about the Ark of the Covenant. And we also never heard anything about the Urim and Thummim. In both cases, the Ark and the Urim and the Thummim, God's presence was there. So my educated guess is that he took it up to heaven with Elijah. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck.
That's Proverbs 4, isn't it? Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is so beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick now, but just before I do, I want you to be saved. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now in a few minutes, my telephone, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I gave it to you earlier. Feel free to call and leave a message on my voicemail that you were saved, and I'll pray for you. Now we pray for the sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings, that the laser beams of Jesus' healing virtue go into the very lungs and the throat and the vocal cords and clear the air. All nasal passages be cleaned out. Headaches be gone. We speak to breast in Jesus' mighty name. Any kind of a growth in a breast, we command you to disintegrate, decease, be dissolved, be gone. Let the breast be perfectly healed. Cancer, you have no place there. Move this in the name and the power of Jesus. Cancer is a demon. And I ask that your back stop hurting, that your bones be strong, and renew your youth and your strength as the eagles from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Whoa, he sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Revive, rejoice. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. I give you glory. Now, if you got your healing there, you also want to call and tell me that. Okay, remember, Sundays we have, you may come and be a part of our recording here for the radio program. You can be my Amen Corner, and I need you there, and then we'll pray for you. And tell other people about this radio program, Trumpet of Truth, and on WMIFM.com. And of course, you can stream us live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., but you can also get us on demand anytime you want. Sundays, 5 p.m. over here at my school. Now remember that Jesus said, thy word is truth. And his name is called the Word of God. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Nothing is given to you to keep. If you keep it, it'll die within you, and you'll be a very selfish person. So you want to share the truth. You want to go and publish the name of the Lord and the word of the Lord. God will put someone in your path if you're a willing vessel there. Okay? And now, until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson. We say we love you. We thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord preserve you going in and your coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. And I can't wait until next week to see you again on Trumpet of Truth. God bless you, and I love you.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. Tune in next week at this same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Of His grace. Yeah.
yet the Son, the one who died for me. We die for us, church. You believe it tonight? Come on, let's sing together. Hallelujah, 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 all praise to our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
consider the stars, the work of your hand. When I consider who you are and who I am, who are you? Consider the stars, the work of your hand. When I consider who you are and who I am, who am I? Consider the stars.
Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Thank you. to glimpse your holy presence.
All the heavens cannot hold you back. How much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire.
Come and find me, try.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Boaters Exchange. Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange fixes all marine engines, and they sell all sized boats. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Cabrin Air. Family-owned and operated and serving the Space Coast area for over 30 years now is Cabrin Air. Available at 321-784-0127. You'll find Cabrin Air listed on Angie's List as well as in the Better Business Bureau. Once again, Cabrin Air, covering all of Brevard County, is available at 321-784-0127. You can find them on their web, too, at www.cabran.com. That's K-A-B-R-A-N.com. So if your air conditioner is broke, or if you're in need of preventive maintenance, or maybe it's time to upgrade to a new high-efficiency system, Cabrin Air is available at 784-0127. Exceeding all your expectations is Cabrin Air.